Triple Shot Mindset.
Oh, you are our first guest, by the way. Ever.
I'm so excited.
First guest ever. Hello, everyone. We are
What's
here with
up?
Our first guest, Kelly Miller, a dear friend and an author of this book, Love Hacks, which, by the way, I've read once. I've listened to it once on Audible because I could not write a review on Amazon unless I did either Audible or from Amazon.
They track it?
Wait, yeah. You had to do both?
Yeah.
Or one or the other?
No, I purchased this from Barnes & Noble. And I wrote my review.
So this would be a verified purchase.
Verified purchase.
I know what that is.
But I'm the only one who's audibled it. And 8 hours of you, man, that's like
the good stuff.
But I put on times 2.5.
Yeah. Put it on times 1,000.
Which was like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Were you able to retain the wisdom
at that rate? 100%. At that rate. My eyes were closed. No, yes. I'm kidding.
They were just moving back and forth.
Actually,
really
I was
fast.
Doing the dishes, the laundry, and you were going in the background.
Oh my
and
god!
It was kind of cool.
Yeah,
it's like a nag while you're doing dishes.
Like, hey, you missed a spot. Exactly. I'm like, I'm doing it, Kelly. What's going on? But thanks for coming all the way down from Studio City. Is it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, Studio City. Anyway, you are a relationship expert, right?
Sort of.
No, you are. You are. I mean, why else would we have you on this prestigious podcast?
We only get the best. Right. We only bring on the best.
And a very successful psychotherapist. Very successful. And when I do this, that means...
thank good you. Good timing on that.
Well, the timing was great.
Well done.
But anyway, thank you for coming. Absolutely. We appreciate
thank
you.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes. Just pay the $250 out to Kevin. Kevin?
I owe him for the coffee already.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, today I was 7 o'clock in the morning at my kids' at swim class. And I was reading this article about this lady who had done a research study in Illinois. Do you guys remember the name of the... No.
No, but I remember it being memorable. Just not memorable
enough. Aurora University.
Yeah.
Aurora University.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I still have some brain cells left. Yeah. But anyway, she said there's two types of people, two types of categories of relationships. One is people who get into a relationship because of a soul connection, like a soulmate connection. And the other one is a type of people who have chemistry in the beginning and they try to psychoanalyze things like, these are the qualities he has and these are qualities she has and let's work on each other to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately or unfortunately, the people who are in the soulmate relationship, they put up with a lot more BS. Because they believe like, well, I'm destined to be with this person. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if they don't do the dishes or if they fart in front of me, that's okay. And they put up with a lot of stuff. And eventually, they will pull the plug really quickly once they realize that person wasn't the soulmate. Or if they think, well, my soul contract was reached. We did what we had to do. We had two kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about myself, by the way. And now it's time to move on.
But it's okay if you are.
Right,
it's all right.
It's okay.
We're coming from a place of experience.
Follow me. Yes, that. And the other type of people, they put up with each other longer. And I say that in the best way because I think relationships are great, you know. This book is great. Relationships are great. But sometimes you got to nudge the other person or each other in the right direction. And they tend to do it longer and further and with more patience than the first soulmate connection type of people. So today we're going to talk about that. And we have you as an expert.
I love this topic.
Yes. We have you as an expert in spirituality. And Kevin over there, he just loves being there.
He's our support system.
Right. Yeah. And he Thank does... You. Impersonations.
It's not about trickle-down economics.
No, it's not.
I'm Michelle. Sasha, Malia.
They gave me the virus. Oh, listen, they gave me the virus. But anyway, I had to balance you out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was well done.
It was. So, well, I love how it's nothing to do with like relationships. Somehow we just threw it in.
Yo. But anyway, I think we should start with the soulmate version first.
Okay.
Because a lot of people like me, I'm like, oh man, I got chemistry. It must be a soulmate connection. Mm-hmm. And then a few weeks later, you're like, no, it was just my hormones.
Damn.
Right. I know,
that
right?
That happens.
It is. It is.
It always does.
Yeah. So tell me, what do you think about the soulmates connection?
Me?
No, my uncle.
Oh, I know. Well, he's like, your guy
is right here. I'm like, it could be either.
Well, you two can do it. You can do it. Can tag team.
Well, I'll start off with the, okay, let me put down my coffee and I will just let everyone know I'm very amped right now. So just give me the signal when I need to talk more slowly.
So you don't want the
slowly.
Dark chocolate right now?
No. Mm-hmm. So in the spiritual community, I'm referring to meditators, crisis meditators, people who read tarot, astrologists, people who feel vibes. It is a widespread understanding that there are soulmates for every person. And right now, in this present juncture in time-space reality, I think with the popularized reach of psychology, thanks to a lot of online social media psychologists, mm-hmm. even the spiritual corners of the internet are starting to understand that there might not just be one soulmate for everyone. Because back when I was coming up, mm-hmm. I was like 10, the idea was you have one soulmate for life. Mm-hmm. But it's evolved, fortunately, in the spiritual community to this concept where now you have maybe multiple soulmates, depending on what you're going through in your life. And what we see from astrologists and tarot readers is this idea that whatever wavelength you're on, however you're vibrating energetically, whatever your electromagnetic field is of your heart, you're going to attract a person who will teach you the lessons you need to learn at the stage of life that you're in. And then you may go your separate ways when those lessons are up, kind of like what you said with a soul contract.
Right. Yeah.
So I can see how that contributes to the notion of when I'm not feeling it anymore,
yeah.
I'm out. And I, in my humble opinion, I think that that can be a little bit toxic. I think there needs to be the intellectual component to help sustain mm-hmm. a commitment, but then it's kind of a gray hazy area because, as you said, how long do you get stuck and mired in a situation that's not working because you want to,
idea.
Yeah, you want to like intellectually, yeah. unemotionally just figure it out. Yeah. So that's kind of the spiritual perspective.
So her book, she talks about how to like resolve certain issues, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of pulling the plug, she talks about fixing or try to fix some of those things.
Sure.
Tell me more about your idea of this.
Yeah. So for me, independent of whether you think it's your soulmate or you're intellectualizing, I think that people are very quick to just exit immediately when something doesn't work or get frustrated. And so that's why I created the book is because I think that people exit so quickly. So to me, it's just common sense. Like, okay, let's just try to work through this. If we can't work through it, then we got to talk about, okay, is this relationship working? But I think to me, that was just the start of it.
Yeah. Well, I have friends. Family friends, not friends myself. I'm a loner. But
you're friendless.
I'm friendless.
It's okay.
But we have family friends who are in their 70s now, 80s maybe. And they've been together for like 50, 60 years now. Mm-hmm. And when you walk into their house, Kathy, she has a Persian name. Kathy.
Never heard like, this story before.
She's downstairs, you know, cooking up the salmon and dill.
Uh-huh.
And Mike... And he could have gone with Mo, Mike, whatever. And he's always outside doing something.
Okay.
And I told him, what's the secret to you guys being together for such a long time? And he's like, well, she's always in the kitchen. I'm always outside. That's not healthy. Like, the whole concept of a relationship is to be able to
relate.
Be together. Mm. Relate and like be that dynamic. So if someone's constantly outside, like, I don't know, cutting the rose bushes.
Yeah.
Just for no reason for the 100th time in a row. And she's in the kitchen just making the salmon again. Mm-hmm. At which point do you call it quits?
Well, okay, but let's flip that for a second. Are they both very independent? And I mean, and there's something attractive about that where two people are very independent. I think of it like the letter H, right? That's what we want in relationships where you have two independent people and then you have the bridge versus the A where they're kind of hyper dependent on each other.
Oh, I like that.
That's brilliant. And the H could be for healthy.
That's I like
and that. And the A could be...
for Amanda.
Yeah. So even though... Okay, so they are independent.
Okay.
They're both very independent people, which I get. You know, you need your space and all that. But when you ask someone, what's their
secret
to your success and they're like, well, because she's in the kitchen all the time and I'm in the rose bushes, just getting thorns in my eyes.
Yeah.
Like, at which point do you say, well, this is not... So Kevin and I have seen them interact, and it's very minimal. Very minimal.
Okay.
You walk into their house. Hey, Kathy. Yes, Mike. Do you want tea?
But let me say this.
Oh, that's working? The mic's working?
Is it? Is this thing on?
You're doing great.
In my humble opinion.
Both of you are very humble people, by the way.
Thank yeah, exactly. You. Both of them.
Thank you. Thank you. So, Mike and Kathy.
Mm-hmm. Is it Kathy with a C or a K? Just so I can get that straight. Okay.
When they interact, it's very respectful. It's very kind.
Okay.
Though it's minimal, it's very respectful. And I can see that, unlike some couples I know, they don't bring each other down in front of guests at all.
That's good. No criticism.
Actually, they go the opposite. She's such a great cook. Oh, Mike is amazing in the garden. Oh my God, look at these bushes. Whatever. But it just goes to show, in my opinion, that their relationship works because they respect each other's space. Mm-hmm. And they have some sort of a contract, not written, that says, you know what? I'm sorry to say this, but back then in Iran, they said, oh, you're the woman, you got to cook.
Right.
I'm the man, I'm going to be outside fixing the car and, you know, sure. planting the whatever. And so that mentality, they know kind of their roles.
Right.
And to them, it works. Mm-hmm. They do it respectfully and lovingly for the other person.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it works. Even though they may not be talking too much anymore, but mm-hmm. I bet you when we leave, they're like, oh, well, you know.
Yes.
You know, there's going to be some, it looks like it's going to go in a good direction, not in a bad direction.
I think you make a great point. And I also think like that works for them. And maybe, Artavan, that wouldn't work for you. You would need more quality time.
Right.
So that's, you know what I mean? Like for you, it's like, oh, how could this even work? But for them, obviously it does.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons, many reasons.
Can I ask the $1 million question before? Yeah. Do we think that they think they're soulmates? Or do we think that they're...
Just
intellectual partners.
Ooh, that's a great question.
Should we ask them that in Farsi next time I go up to Orinda, California?
I love how nobody has said this is your parents. We're all like just the white elephant, the big elephant in the room. Nobody's Mike and Kathy.
Yeah, Mike and Kathy, by the way. Yeah. I hope your daughter Yossi isn't watching.
But yeah, what would you think? Would you think that they would say yes to that?
I think at this stage of their life, they're going to say, yes, we're soulmates. Mm.
They went into business together, right? Mm. And they were the best partners. I never saw that bickering that our uncle and aunt used to have when they worked together.
Okay.
They would come home, hey, I'm going to go make the roast. I'm going to go cut the rose bushes. Yeah. I mean, it was
I call that compatibility.
Yeah.
I would mm-hmm. define that, and I think the spiritual community would agree. If there's that much longevity mm-hmm. in it, even if we don't see their emotional intimacy, even if we don't witness what that looks like,
yeah.
For all intents and purposes, what we're observing is compatibility.
Just, well, there's like four that. C's I talk about usually. Oh. Usually. Okay.
And are we talking about a ring here? Cut, quality,
carrots.
Yeah, exactly.
Chocolate.
Yeah.
Chocolate.
And
chocolate.
Four C's.
I talk about, you know, people coming together for compatibility reasons, mm-hmm. for comfort, right? Because like it feels comfortable. Mm-hmm. Chemistry.
Yes.
And connection.
Oh, I like that.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So we don't know at which stage they are at. Maybe mm-hmm. they're just comfortable. Maybe they had some compatibility stuff going on like 20 years ago, but now they're just comfortable.
It sounds like they're still compatible.
They could be.
What gives you reason to think?
That's what I want to know. I mean, it's very different though. When you're looking at your parents' relationship, it's different. But
this isn't your parents.
Parents' friends.
Oh, it's not your parents.
No. Kathy and Mike would,
yeah.
no.
Because they're,
my parents,
yeah.
No, my parents are divorced. No,
that's what I thought. Together. Okay, so it's a yeah. family friend. Okay. Yeah, it is a good question. Like, what makes you think just because you don't see that connection or?
Well, in Persian culture, probably Cubano too.
Yeah.
Or Jewish. Yeah. I think once you go past a certain stage, like you hit your 40th, you know, anniversary mm-hmm. together, they're like, well, there's no going back.
Yeah.
My ex-in-laws, they were together for 45 years. Mm-hmm. And they're both miserable. But they're like, maybe we should just see it all the way to the end. Because, I mean, we've been together for so long. And there's no reason to jump ship and go try to find a new person.
So that's
person.
The comfort.
That's a comfort.
That's a second.
So when I look at parents, if my parents were still together, I think it would have been just out of comfort. Not out of any of the other C's.
Mm-hmm. I would say that's true of my parents. Mom and Dad, I love you guys.
Do you really?
All my heart. Yeah, they're the best parents in the world. Aww. But they've taught me a lot about compatibility. Mm. and what it's like when there isn't any. Right. Love you guys. And so I think they're going on their 35th anniversary, maybe. Mm-hmm. And it would be comfort, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people think of longevity as like the main thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if we can make it, you know, but a lot of people miss that quality piece of it. So I think, but I think that's changing now with our generations versus the older generations.
So true.
Which, man, this is a great segue to my next point with all the seeds we were talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Coffee, chocolate, all that.
Yep.
When I meet someone,
mm-hmm.
I think everything starts with chemistry. Like, yes. You know, everything is like flying. You're like, oh, this is so cool. It makes me feel nice and mm-hmm. bubbly when I'm around this person. And then that usually fades, or does it? And then maybe connection takes over.
Yeah.
And I've met some people who say, well, chemistry has to be there 24/7, mm-hmm. day in and day out, year after year, decade after decade. And I just don't think that's doable. I mean, absolutely. I don't think that's going to happen. Because chemistry is there, I guess, for a reason, to bring people together.
Right.
Have them mate.
Yes.
And then, you know, they go their separate ways.
Right.
Right? Yeah. But so what's your analogy of why is it that, in my opinion, of course, mm-hmm. when chemistry fades, a lot of relationships fall apart?
So I think it's impossible to sustain that level that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And for good reason. We wouldn't be able to get things done. We would just be with our partner all the time. Right. So I think you're right. Initially, it is for that connection. But you're right. So we need those other things there to sustain the relationship, the connection, the comfort, everything else you yeah. spoke of. But I think that's what happens a lot of times when that fades, people think, oh, that means I'm not in love with my partner anymore or something like that. I think that's an automatic thought.
Yeah.
But it's impossible to sustain that.
It has to be.
Yeah.
And do we think that's the soulmate connection group? Just bringing us home for a second.
Comfort
just for a second, and then we'll go back out into the world. But could it be? No, the chemistry. Because at least in, again, circling back to the spiritual community, there's so much based on intuition and feeling
yes.
and sensing. And I think what people who aren't looking at the scientific aspect mistakenly believe is that what they're feeling hormonally and chemically mm-hmm. is an intuitive pull.
Mm.
So when that expires, they also believe that the soul connection has expired.
Interesting.
So do we, yeah. we like?
I love that. But love. One of the things
I like.
Said, I like. One of the things you said is that because you're a psychic medium, all that stuff.
Only
right?
on the weekends.
Well,
which it happens to be. So,
perfect.
So good.
So if you're looking at someone, like let's say me or him or mm-hmm. Kathy and Mike, and you look at their spirit guides,
yeah.
you see them.
Yep.
Do they ever say, he's with the wrong woman?
Oh,
yes, but it's usually a reflection of something that the person already knows internally. Mm. So the spirit guide's really reflecting a truth that the individual knows, mm-hmm. but is not acknowledging. So a spirit guide will decide that because the individual has decided that.
Right.
But the individual has decided not to act upon uh-huh. that. It doesn't make it any less true.
But is it that they're supposed to learn this lesson?
Ultimately, what a spirit guide's role is to help every individual become the spirit guide of themselves, to learn to self-advocate.
I like that. Yeah.
So they're just helping you out. And oftentimes the spirit guide is the future version of yourself. People don't realize sometimes they're asking for help from the universe. It's like you're asking for help from because the universe is timeless.
Yes.
Time is an illusion. Let's not go too far down this rabbit hole. But sometimes you're asking your future self for help. Oh. And your future self has already learned those lessons and they're trying to like catch you up. But you can't rush it. You can't rush evolution.
God, this is fascinating.
Did that answer your question?
Pretty much. I mean, more than I wanted to know.
That's what I thought. Sorry about that.
So if I'm laying down in bed with my pyramid on my forehead.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Right?
The amethyst.
Important. Yeah. His name is Pedro.
So I love this. Is this a smoking quartz? It's
gorgeous. Well, this is so funny you said that because talking about spirituality and everything. So this was my grandma's ring. I was super close with her. And for some reason, something was pulling me to put it on today.
It
I
is love a it. Powerful piece.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyway, back to you.
That's so cool.
Where was it? Oh, yeah. The amethyst on the
forehead.
On
your forehead.
So when I do that, I don't want to get off this topic. When I ask for them to guide me in the right direction, is it then me asking my future self?
Oftentimes, yes.
Ooh, so funny. I never thought about that perspective.
Yeah. Because again, in the world of spirit, we're having a third dimensional experience. So it's very dense.
Yeah.
It's all about the form. But spirit is all dimensions. So you're outside of time when you get into the realm of spirit. So you could ask you could be asking your future self. You could be asking the all that is. Mm-hmm. And to pin it down is a very, we're trying to project our experience of form onto it. Like, who, what's your name? Where do you come from? What planet are you from? And sometimes those questions are extraneous. It's just you asking you.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the pillow talk that you could have with Amanda after? Like,
I love where your head is at.
I like this. Like, oh my God, it'd be like an analyzation. Like, it'd just be so much fun.
So, in the book that you wrote.
Yes.
Wonderful book, by the way, available everywhere. Books are sold, right?
I love that.
So, in the book, we talk about,
well, you've read it so many times. At this point, she knows you better than me. Talking about
By the way, I've listened to every podcast she's done in the past 2 months because I have to extract it. And I love listening to it. But I'm extracting it on my computer, and it has to play at the highest volume. It won't let me turn it down. So I'm like listening to it as I'm like washing dishes.
Poor thing. You're washing a lot of dishes.
I do. The kids don't believe in paper plates.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But anyway, let's not digress here. In the book that I've read and all the interviews I've listened to, I could be her publicist.
Yep. Yes.
I do see value in if something's going apart, that we have to employ a lot of different things to make him go back. In my case, when I was getting my big D, divorce.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I mean, either way, a different way.
It's all good. Yeah.
All your eyes popped.
Exactly.
We're like,
you say, finally, you say Kevin
in a different
up.
Way.
Exactly. He's blushing. It's really cute.
I know. Thanks. So, when we have, like, let's say in my divorce, the big divorce, at what point should I have said, okay, let me read this book? Gotcha. At which point should I have fixed it? At which point I should have let it go? Well, I'm not done yet.
Okay. But I have a question.
Go ahead.
A clarifying question. Did you believe you were soulmates?
Ooh.
Sorry, I keep coming back to that, but I feel...
It's a great question.
So I went to a psychic right after the divorce. And she went to a psychic right after her divorce. Our divorce. And so she went to a psychic in Denver or Dallas, one of the D words. Man, that's D or D's.
What's going on?
I like it.
And the same weekend, she had a reading done and I had a reading done.
Didn't know.
Ooh. Didn't know. And so she comes back and she's like, guess what? I did a reading. I'm like, I did a reading too. So she's like,
how did she come back?
Yeah, exactly. Do it again. That's a Dallas walk. I think it was Dallas.
You're right.
She was wearing her cowboy boots.
And she had a hat.
Yeah, exactly. She didn't have one.
Makes sense.
So anyway, she said, I had this reading done. And the psychic told her that her and I were brother and sisters in a previous life. And her sole contract was to come into this life and have kids because we were so beautiful. Don't you guys agree?
Yes. That's part of it. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
And mine told me the same thing. She said, well, you and your ex probably have a soul connection going back as like either siblings or something because you guys came here, you did your whatever.
Due diligence.
Another big deal.
And then you guys separated. If I would have had this book and I saw that things are kind of crumbling apart, at which point would I have said, okay, I need to employ these things and elongate it, which I wanted to. Or in her opinion, she's like, well, this just certifies that we were supposed to.
But before the divorce and before the reading, did you believe you were soulmates?
I thought so.
You thought you were soulmates. Okay.
She thought,
but,
no.
But soulmates to me doesn't mean you'll be together forever necessarily.
Yep. Exactly.
So yes, she could have and still is maybe one of your soulmates that you were supposed to learn from. Yeah. But I think we have this notion that soulmates means forever and ever.
Yep.
Yeah,
completely agree.
Do you remember the analogy we used a few months ago about the turn signals of a car?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Being so visual, like when I'm behind the stoplight, I look at the turn signals of different cars. At some point, a few of them are in sequence.
In sync.
And I'm like, wow, that's cool. If it stays long enough, that's kind of cool. They'll all turn on and off at the same time. But at some point, one of them is a little bit slower or whatever, and they go out of sync. We were talking about maybe the concept of soulmates is your frequency will align at some point stay in tune, mm-hmm. and then eventually one's a little bit different than the other one, and they break mm-hmm. apart. But if you wait long enough, it may go in a cycle and come back.
Like seasons, yes.
So when Kelly said about it's not lifelong, I completely agree.
Yeah.
Because if those frequencies are not as close, mm-hmm. eventually they come together and you feel it. Mm-hmm. You feel, wow, I got a connection here. But then in time, you see that they drift apart.
But should you try to stitch it back together?
Some people, in my opinion, humble.
These are very humble people.
Thank you. Thank you. Big H. In my humble opinion, if you want it to work, mm-hmm. you realize that frequency that brought you together is still there. It just has to realign again. And you work on it. You give it time. You work on it so that it does come back to where it's supposed to be.
Amanda's going to like my answer. I feel like if it's meant to be, then you stay together. And if it's not, so it's like you could do all this work all day long. And then maybe it's just not meant to be. Like, I don't know. So it's like, I think we can only do so much before there's other spirits, universe, whatever
I agree.
It be. That
yeah, you're not going to kill yourself. So no matter what, I'm going to make it work.
Absolutely.
But put a little bit of work and you exactly. see if it's not worth it and you see it's still going in different directions, you just give up.
We're responsible for our efforts, but not the outcome. That's kind of how I see it.
Mm.
Wow. Well, the most spiritual principle of all.
Is it?
Is that, yeah.
Fantastic.
You have absolutely no control. You can only control what you can control. And right. then the rest is...
So in your line of work, mm-hmm. Kevin,
I was going to bring up something about the big D.
Oh, yeah.
Before we go
back,
let's
go back to that.
And I think all of us know that nowadays we have too many choices, mm-hmm. right? In the generation of Mike and Kathy,
M&K,
they met somebody... They felt the connection. Yes, nobody's perfect,
right.
but they made it work because mm-hmm. there was no, oh, let me jump on this app at night and, oh my God, you know what? I got choices. If Kathy's not good enough, I don't like the roast, I'm going to find somebody else. Mm-hmm. Now everybody has choices. And like, oh, I don't want to put in the work to get back together again because why should I?
Right.
There's like 10 people that like me already. Yes. So
right.
How has social media changed?
Yes, that's what I was just thinking when you said that. I was thinking about the swiping culture where it's always, you're so cute moving back. She's like, you can see him. That there's so many options. So I think it has unfortunately impacted us negatively because I think there is this notion if door number one doesn't work, well, guess what? There's a lot of other doors, but they're illusions. They're not, you're basing it on, you're idealizing this potential person.
So at which point do you pull the plug?
Oh, he's back to this again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to pull the plug here.
It's a good question.
Because so for me, my ex said, if I wouldn't have pulled the plug, you wouldn't have. And I didn't see anything wrong with it because I was complacent. I thought, like, this is it. Mm-hmm. Like once you achieve this, mm-hmm. summit, you go to there and you're married, then, take your foot off the gas.
Yeah.
Which most men think that. You're like, okay, well, I've achieved this. Mm-hmm. Great. Let me just coast from now on. And coasting doesn't really work.
I have a theory.
What?
I just formulated it right now. I think you pull the plug when it's no longer self-loving to remain in the situation. Because I think foundationally, you have to love yourself. You have to ensure that you are as optimized and healthy and balanced as you as an individual can be. And if your efforts are starting to drain your reserves and you're not being met in that, mm-hmm. that may be when it's time to pull the plug. And that sparked because your ex said, if you hadn't pulled the plug, if I hadn't pulled the plug, you wouldn't have. So I think just putting myself in those shoes, it was a recognition of this is going to drain my reserves if I'm not being met here. Her perception, not to say it was necessarily objectively accurate.
So if we were on a deserted island with no internet access and no other guy or woman mm-hmm. to distract from this whole thing, do you think we would have stayed together or do you think we would have pulled the plug? Because if there's no point of reference as to, let's say she wanted more travel, more this, and X and Y are doing this on Instagram. I just saw them, for example, that they're doing this, they're traveling the world, they're very happy together. Why don't I have that? So if you're comparing yourself to a couple of people online, or a couple of friends who are like, come in and out of your life, and you compare yourself to them, and you're like, wait a minute, what I thought was great with this guy mm-hmm. no longer suits me. So if we were on a deserted island,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there was no way to compare, you know, apples to apples. Sure. Or where do you think it would go? Would you still, would most people still find it that they have to separate after a while, that there's nothing else to work on? Or would they find that they have to still work on themselves? Does it make sense?
Yes. I think Mike and Kathy. Mike and Kathy's example.
Salmon and Rose.
Our grandparents' example. That was kind of like no internet.
Right.
This is what we have to work with. We're going to make the best of it. I think the culture of today's swiping thingy, mm-hmm. that adds to, and seeing everything on Instagram, you always think, oh, there's better. And then you start comparing. I always say, look at what you have, the blessings you have, and not the blessings you don't have. Because mm-hmm. those blessings are not actually blessings. There's a reason you don't have them. It's because you could make a lot of money, let's say, and that's your wish. I wish I had that blessing. But at the end, maybe that money would have changed you. Maybe it would have led to you becoming, you know, people taking advantage of you, wanting your money. So the blessings you don't have aren't necessarily blessings. It may look like it,
that's so good.
But the reason you have what you have now is because you're blessed to have that.
Yeah.
That's your blessing.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't be looking outside trying to compete with other people.
So most people who come to you, though, mm-hmm. are they past a 50% gas tank half full, uh-huh. half empty kind of place? Oh. Or are they usually like much lower than it can't be?
I've seen it all. I've seen it's like, we are desperate. We are like crumbling. I need help. And then I've seen people who are doing really well and like, I want to stay at this level. How do we, you know, continue this? I just want to prevent future mishaps.
Do the people who crumble, uh-huh. like it's like last
resort. Yes, like last resort.
Do they ever come back and say everything is fine?
I've seen some miracles.
Really?
Yeah. We're, you know, because they hadn't worked through some of the issues. I mean, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's so dependent. But yeah, I always say I'd rather couples come in earlier than later.
Of course, yeah. But yeah. Most people are not going to have that awareness that something's wrong mm-hmm. until they hit that 50%
right
point. So for me, for example, again, I'm using that because, you know, I've already talked about my divorce so good. Many times, is that she said it was past the 50%. By years.
Okay.
By years. Like, oh, it's been a few years that it's below 50%. Whereas I thought it was like 95.8%. Yeah, like,
that's interesting.
So the delusion that I thought it was a perfect marriage mm-hmm. and her reality was so way off mm-hmm. that even if I said, okay, I'm going to pull myself up from that 50%, there was no way I was going to do that.
Because you didn't feel that way, right?
I didn't feel like that. But also, like, I'm like, if people wait so long mm-hmm. to tell you.
Right,
and
right.
As a man, mm-hmm. as a man, I like to tell people how it is.
Yes.
Like, for example, hey, Kevin, the way you frowned at me the other day hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. Let me.
I was just squinting because I can't
You're
see.
You're squinting. Oh, man. But I think in relationships, most women, they throw out some hints. Mm-hmm. So throw out some vague you know, notions that, oh, mm-hmm. if he's smart enough, he's going to get it.
Yeah.
And it's not a matter of me being smart or not. I think it's more of a matter of me needing to know exactly what the issues are and what the solutions are. Because I usually go for this trying to fix things.
Yes.
So for the people who come to you, mm-hmm. How many of them are aware how many percentage of men are usually mm-hmm. aware that something's wrong? And is it really true that most women pull the plug and file for divorce?
No, I mean, I've seen it both ways, but I just want to speak to one thing and I don't want to like point you out, but I feel like there's a lot of responsibility that you're taking, like, gosh, I should have known, or like, how did I not know? But to me, I'm hearing the other partner should have communicated to you more about what she was feeling. Mm-hmm. It's not on us to be mind readers, right? And to, you know, our partners, that's their responsibility to say, hey, I'm not feeling connected, or there's something off between us, or what can we do to work on this? Yeah, for her, I mean, not just her, this is common, is like for people to stew in it for years and not communicate that with their partner. And then for that partner to feel like, oh my God, I should have known. It's like, no, that's on that partner to communicate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Because I feel like there's a lot of responsibilities. I just have to help you out in that
perspective. Thank you. Yeah. Because when I was writing my book, not to overshadow yours, but by the way, Love Hacks, available everywhere. It was like a self-reflective memoir mm-hmm. that, oh, I should have been more this, I should have been more that.
Right.
And as the months go by, from the time I started the book, that's why it's taking so long. Because I was like, oh my God, it was my fault. I should have known.
Right.
Now it's like, you know, you miss some.
Right.
You don't miss some.
Yep. Yeah.
What's the opposite of miss?
You win some, you lose some.
Sure, but what's the opposite of miss?
Mr.
Yeah, there you go, Mr.
So I'm sorry. So what was the original question? Because I was focused on
how many percentage wise.
Yes.
Because I've read so many places that women usually they have enough of the relationship and they pull out.
Oh,
and
right.
By the time they pull out, they don't have that connection anymore. And as soon as the connection is lost, they can pull the plug.
Sure.
Whereas men, they feel like, well, we're in the same boat together.
Okay.
We're connected. Yeah. I'm never going to, or not never, but less likely to pull the plug on a marriage that's not working.
Yeah.
What's the percentage of women who come to you who are done with it and they want to file for divorce?
It's so funny because I feel like it's half and half. I've seen really both. I don't really feel like it's more women who are, although statistically it's true. I think more women do divorce, file for divorce. But in my practice, I think it's pretty mixed, but I think there's a common thread of I'm not feeling appreciated by my partner.
Yeah.
That's really what I'm seeing. So, you know, male or female.
I think that appreciation thing, I mean, plays in every relationship.
Oh, for sure.
So what would you say?
I feel like I'm tips. like falling into this couch. I gotta like sit up. I don't know. Do you guys feel like
that? Yes, for sure. I always have to readjust.
Oh my God. I'm like slipping into this quicksand couch.
Yeah. So what would you suggest to people who are losing that connection? Whether it be appreciation, loss of appreciation.
Sure.
What would you recommend them do?
You have to make it a priority. You've probably heard this 12 times on all 21 of the podcasts I've done. But it's true. I think that we take our partners for granted. And it's like anything else. If it's important to you, you make it a priority. So you start making your partner a priority and doing those small connections that I talk about in Love Hacks of, I termed it T's, traditions. So, you know, you can have a really sweet tradition with your partner. In the morning, you make each other coffee. You say your things that you're grateful for. E is for, oh my God, now that's been so long since I've done this. What was E? Erotic? Was that part of it?
Could be.
Like, I can't even remember.
Let's just go with it.
Where you have to make it like fun and sexy still, especially if you've been in a long-term relationship. A is acknowledgements, where you want to tell your partner the things you appreciate about them, whether you say it verbally or through a text. S is for silly, where we want to make it fun and like talk in a foreign accent, do your Trump impersonation, your Obama, make it fun. And then E is efforts. So, you know, you want to put in those efforts and you don't necessarily want to tell your partner you've done it. It's not like, oh, I did the dishes again for you. Like just do it. Right. And that kind of thing. And those are really small things that you can do for your partner to make it work.
There was an episode of Seinfeld, right? That you're too young for that. You're too young for that. But, George Costanza, he finds the best, I think, what was it? Like a pizza shop or calzone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, calzone. Yeah.
Calzone. Mm. So he found the best calzone and he kept going there and he's like, I'm going to leave him a tip. Right. So he finally, being the cheap ass that he was, he took a $10 tip. And as he was about to put it in a tip jar, the guy who was like taking out the pizza from the oven, he turned.
Oh, the other way. So he couldn't see it.
And he's like, wait a minute. He didn't see me tip it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So then he tried to take it out and we put it back in.
Now they thought he's stealing.
Right, exactly.
But he wanted to get that, you know, acknowledgement that I just tipped you.
Yes.
Thank you. In a relationship.
Yeah.
I found myself a few times. Mm-hmm. I had to like, you know, with my ex-wife, I had to make either mention
that
I did something. Because her argument was you never...
Yeah.
Let's say like to travel. Mm-hmm. You never like to wash the dishes, which I did. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Like we went to all these 18 places together in the past 2 years. Like here's the itinerary. She's like, what are you trying to prove it to me for? I'm like, because you just literally said we never do that. Yeah. Or when I'm washing the dishes and she comes home and I hear the garage door opening.
Yeah.
On purpose, I take three plates that I was I put them back and
Did
I start rewashing them.
Right.
And I'm like, oh man, a big load today again. So she knows, and then she goes upstairs. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, can't you see? Honey, look what I'm doing.
But do you ever, is it wrong to, I know I don't want to keep count or just mention things, but for someone who thinks that you never do anything.
Right.
I mean, it has to be Then you got to think like a lawyer.
But I think that you have that honest conversation of, hey, I've definitely been trying to step it up. I hope you can see that. Is there something that I'm doing that you're not quite seeing? Or, you know, like I would just approach it instead of like this kind of like, you know, weaseling around and hiding. And like, I'm just much more bold and direct where it's like, hey, let's just talk about it. Cause maybe, you know, she's seeing something you're not doing or, you know, vice versa or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yes, Kevin.
I think it's human nature. Mm-hmm.
It's what?
It's human nature.
Good.
Human nature. It's human nature that, like the dishwashing thing. If I see my wife washing dishes night after night, I kind of feel like, okay, she's doing it. Not me personally. I'm just saying, like, generally people are like, oh, she likes to wash dishes, let her wash dishes. You don't tell yourself, you know what? Oh, my God, now it's my turn. Let me also contribute. I was built in a way that I see and I feel bad and I go and help. And so we've made this thing that if you cook, I wash the dishes. Mm-hmm. If you took out the trash today, I'm going to take it out tomorrow. And it's just an unwritten rule. And I think Mike and Kathy, going back to them, they do things like that. One doesn't just sit on the sofa or go upstairs, you know, play video games while the other one is doing all the work. So the reason that you want to show that, hey, I'm doing this, maybe it's because she didn't see that because she got used to you always doing XYZ. And to her, it was no longer like, oh, wow, he's doing it. It was like, oh, yeah, he does that. That's
right,
what he does.
Right, right.
And I'm not, she doesn't see it anymore.
Mm-hmm. You're very quiet.
I'm taking in all the wisdom.
Thank you.
And also I'm crashing hard from so I'll have to bust out the chocolate soon.
Right.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So when we go into a relationship with chemistry as the catalyst of all this. There's some people I've met over the past couple of years of being a regular on Hinge and Bumble.
regular.
There's some people who say, well, I would like the chemistry to like last.
Yeah.
For the duration. Is that really doable? Because I feel like I was dating this woman and she said, well, chemistry initially was great.
Okay.
Like the first 3 weeks.
Okay.
But now I'm used to you as you.
Mm.
And yes, we can build on connection. We can build on compatibility, all that stuff. But it's unfair to you and for me to date because that chemistry thing just crashed in 3 weeks. So what do you do with that? Do you say, well, no, let's wait and just build connection? Or do you, because I think chemistry is something that has been romanticized time and time again on TV and everything, that like, oh, you have to have love at first sight. You're going to fall in love. You're going to ride a pony into the sunset. And you're going to have
not a horse?
A horse.
Yeah.
Whatever.
A donkey.
A mule.
A mule into the sunset. And a lot of people are after that. A lot of people that I meet are after that. That it, everything has to be perfect. It has to have chemistry, fireworks flying. Otherwise, it's not worth pursuing long term. What are your thoughts on that? And then you, and then not so
what
much.
What scares me, I have to go back to your story, 3 weeks. And then, so to me, that either means she didn't quite feel the chemistry from the start. Or, there's something a little bit off with that piece. Because to me, it wouldn't like drop that quickly. And I think it's something you kind of feel or you don't. I think you also can't really force it. But yeah, I mean, to me, I think you need to be attracted to your partner for it to work.
Sure.
So,
sure.
You know, that's kind of... I don't know. But I mean, yes, I do think it can build, but I think there needs to be a little bit of that spark for it to work.
The spark is definitely needs to be there. I mean, I'm not going to approach someone who's...
Right. Not but, right.
How can you PC about this?
A donkey.
Yeah, I can't approach a donkey. All the donkeys could be cute too.
Yes, they can.
So then you said you had a... You raised your arm. Is it because you had a underarm?
I had a
issue?
Hair on my
hair,
but
yeah.
No. I don't think I did
Can
shower.
Can we bust out that chocolate too?
Yeah, let's
you
bust
said
it.
Oh my God.
Chocolate.
No, Kevin hit it.
I have it.
Please.
I have it. I'll pass it along.
I'll bring it out soon. Oh, I was going to say about your
little... He's hoarding the chocolate.
Yeah.
Are you sitting on it by any chance?
No, I'm not sitting
on it. Warming it up.
That's where the stains.
Yes. Honestly,
I did smell hot chocolate.
That's me.
That's really chocolate?
Yeah. I swear.
And seriously.
That's kind of where I took a DNA test, it would be...
These two.
I mean, I hope so.
What have you been doing behind our back, by the way?
I mean... The big D.
You said you always lay down here and eat your chocolate.
I had to say it.
Eat chocolate, yes. I always lay down and eat chocolate. In the nude.
That about your
three happens week. At the office. So I don't know.
In the office.
About your 3 week, you said I shouldn't say anything much.
No, no. But, you're,
but I'll keep it brief.
Come on.
Your 3 week chemistry, mm-hmm. I think goes back to the Instagramification of things. In that if it doesn't look like a romance book cover, it's not worth it for me to continue.
Well, it looked like a romance book cover.
No,
but I mean, she started opening it up. Like, oh,
did
man.
You feel chemistry?
Oh, wow, that's a great question.
Look at that. Look at that, guys.
Oh, it was designed by Graphic Wise. We got to give it.
Was it really? I love the shiny thing.
He did great. Yeah, such a great job.
Yeah.
Hey, be kind to it. Be kind to it.
So good.
Yeah, I never saw it.
That website is beautiful too. It's beautiful.
But the problem with that
what
was
is this? Graphicwise.com, right?
Graphicwise.com. And Calimani Therapy. By the way, this morning when I was going to come to the office, actually yesterday, when I was looking for this book, which was hidden away in my treasure box.
Of course.
You had dust on it.
Memorables. Yeah. My kids are like, "Oh, do we get to see Kelly Miller Therapy tomorrow?" I'm like, "Her last name is not Therapy."
That's so funny.
Kelly Miller.
That is so adorable.
Because they've seen me go to the website many times and like do updates on it.
So cute.
And they're like, "What about Miss Therapy? 8 Rules of Love by Jay Shetty?" Aww. I'm like, "Oh," because they go through my
That's
books.
So cute.
It's like, "Are you gonna talk to Jay Shetty next?" I'm like, "No." She's like, "Okay, so it's Kelly Miller Therapy too?" I'm like, "It's not therapy. That's not the last name."
That's adorable.
That is really cute.
Yeah. So maybe next time you'll meet them.
I want to meet them so badly.
Yeah.
But back to the Instagram.
They are so adorable.
Thank you.
Oh my
Thank
God, you. Those faces.
Because we had a soul contract, me and my ex. We're like, we should come together.
For those gorgeous kids. Gorgeous no pun kids. Intended. Yeah. And they really are. I mean, that's the
Thank you.
Sorry. It just slipped out. But
you know what? That in itself.
You should stop speaking.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, and a lot of beeps are going to be going
on. Sorry, Brad.
We need like one of those things on the board.
Right.
Beep.
Censored. Kevin, you were saying something.
Yeah.
I was just talking about the Instagramification.
Yeah.
And to me, chemistry for... And isn't it funny that you mentioned that people on the... California specifically... have that short term, if you're not a knight in shining armor, quickly it's over. They don't want to talk to you.
It's more of the coast.
Yeah, like but in West the, in the East Middle coast. America,
yeah. mm-hmm.
there's more, you know what? This is a human being with a good soul. That's a good start. Yeah. That's chemistry to begin with.
Yeah.
Let's build on that.
Yeah, so coast, they look at the cover, by the way, available where all books are sold. And then the Middle America, mainly they look inside of it. Perfect analogy.
Right.
Perfect analogy.
Well, I think there's also less choices in Middle America, right? So it's like, okay, well, I guess, there might be a little bit of that too.
My brother, my cousin, or this new guy working at
or the donkey.
Oh, God. Kevin, we need that chocolate.
I need
this.
Why are you hoarding the chocolate?
He is. He is hiding it.
And then he's like, no, he's pushing back against my.
Look at that. Look at that.
Is this like product placement?
Yeah, guys, sure is.
Wish.
We wish.
Yeah. Brought to you by Theo. Theo Chocolates. Yeah. Available in all fine stores nationwide. And by Subway. Subway. Eat fresh.
Oh, wow. So we came. One day we bought about 7 different types of chocolate brands.
Did you really?
Yeah, all of them were 85%. And we want to do a show about tasting them.
Oh.
But I think by the time by the time we got everything set up, we were so high on caffeine.
So high.
And like the hearts were going, I'm like, I can't do this.
Oh my God, this is so funny. Wait, what was your favorite though?
Theo?
I think it was that brand.
Theo.
It was Theo.
Yeah. Have you ever had it?
I have had that, but not the cherry kind.
Oh, this is beautiful.
It's just cherry and almond, right?
Almond, you never go back.
Yes. You can't. Yeah. Nope. Oh my God, you broke that so perfectly. Was it perforated before him?
Oh, all right. Then
you don't get the credit.
No, it wasn't.
It was. It totally
was. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Thank you. I'll pass it on. I'm not going to drop it on the couch.
Thank you kindly. Yeah.
And then, Kevin, I'm going to open my mouth. You throw
I'm going to toss one at you.
Okay, go.
Okay.
Is your mouth open?
Sure. Mm. Here we go. Oh.
This is good.
That was on target, though.
Yeah, that was well done.
Mm. Oh, wow. Mm. Mm. Just like a whole thing in the mouth.
No, I like to savor the flavor.
Mm. You do that whole piece? Me too. Mm. Oh, my God. For sure. It's like wine. Like
I think you're wild for that.
This is good. I taste the cherries. I like.
Did you finish your coffee already, too? Mm, just chug it down. So you never drank it at all?
I chugged it.
I saw. You guys switched off for that.
You can taste the Ecuadorian farmer plucking the beans. Mm. Oh, yeah. Moist, dewy night. Humidity 20.
Artifan's very poetic.
82%.
You're very poetic. Mm-hmm. It's really cute.
From 20 to 82.
Well, I did the math the other way. Oh, so 100 minus 20, 82.
Gotcha. Wow.
Or 62? Mm-mm. 82. 72.
It was 70.
You're right. 100%.
I don't do math.
And as a burro, as they call it.
The donkey.
Yeah.
It's a big theme of today's pulling, conversation.
It is. Was pulling. Maybe it's ass. Maybe that's just
where it is.
And the ass was pulling the cart of cacao beans. I can't help but notice there was a fly that sat on it and inseminated one of the beans.
Do you guys realize we've gone through?
Inseminated a bean?
Thinking it's the mothership.
Don't ask.
Okay. I know why Kevin's so quiet. He's like, I don't want to be involved in this conversation. He's like,
I'll just let this happen.
Yeah, exactly.
He's learned already.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, that way it can't be a trouble.
Yeah. Scale of 1 to 10.
10.
10.
Absolutely.
Of the chocolate?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to ask?
Yeah.
Okay.
So 1 to 10, you go 10. Look, dark chocolate is dark chocolate. I like milk more.
Oh, you do?
Cadbury would be my... Really?
Hell yeah. You're a milk chocolate guy?
Growing up, Kevin. We had lots of Cadbury.
What the heck?
Nice.
Really? At this tender age of 41?
I don't eat it anymore, but I used to love it. And every time I think chocolate, I think Cadbury.
I have my kids listen to this podcast in the car.
Ours? Don't do that.
No, we need. Although we do need more people listening to it. There's this podcast by a man and a woman,
okay,
who are very in tune with everything, and they're talking about dark chocolate.
They did?
Yeah.
It's funny. When you say in tune with everything, can you define that?
Oy vey.
Or it's like spiritual.
They are spiritual. They want to eat healthy.
Okay.
They
want to be better. Like holistic lifestyle.
Holistic lifestyle.
Makes sense.
Folk. Okay.
And they've implanted the listeners' kids with the notion that dark chocolate must be, you know, taking over milk chocolate, Kevin. Right? Mm. So they say, I know it may be eerie and yucky and it's too bitter, but try this as a challenge. Like, if you guys can hold the dark chocolate in your mouth for 2 minutes and then
it becomes delicious.
And then try to taste the cacao. Try to taste this. Try to see if you can. And after 10 days of doing this, you give them milk chocolate, they don't want to go
back. Exactly. It's too sweet.
Yeah, they're like, Mom, so I can't believe
it. No, I'm not saying doing this. I wish I had milk chocolate right now.
Do you want me to give you the podcast information?
Nope.
It's for 15 and younger.
I'm good. My brother-in-law got me 100%, 100% dark.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, my God, it's horrible, because he started chewing it. I said, no, put it in your mouth and just let it melt. And little by little, it goes down, and it's amazing. And then you start appreciating the burro in South Colombia, where chocolate came
Ecuador.
Ecuador. Yeah, whatever it may be. But then you have a different appreciation for chocolate.
But you say this was a 10.
This was a 10. This is a 10. Because you got cherries, you got nuts.
It was really good. It was really good.
Yeah.
Amanda, you?
10.
10.
Yeah.
You?
I'd give it like a 9.
9. 9. That's a smart person, you know why?
Why?
There's always room for
improvement. There's always room for improvement. You two, if you guys have ever watched Dave Portnoy do the pizza tasting, have you seen him? There's this guy, Barstool Sports. He goes outside pizza places, and he's made millions of dollars doing this. He goes inside.
Okay.
And he gets a pizza, brings it outside to the sidewalk, and his camera guy's like, he's like, hey, Joey, so today we're going to take one bite. With one bite, you got to tell the audience how much this is. And he says, I'll never rate anything a 10.
Yeah.
Because if I do, then
there's
no room for improvement. So you two lost. She, very smart. I'm going to go 9.1.
9.1.
Yeah, because you got
to. Now I want pizza.
Yeah.
You got me on that. That sounds good.
So she's a pescatarian.
No, I started eating chicken. I cannot believe it.
Whoa.
I know.
I love chicken.
This is a big deal.
How did that happen?
Well, like every once in a while, like if I was starting to feel like sick or get a cold, I would have like chicken soup. And then I was like, and then it just sort of gradually. So I don't know. I don't know if it's going to stay or what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So. Chicken DNA anyway.
Is what?
Chicken DNA.
Chicken DNA.
What about it?
DNA.
Yeah, like, not following.
I mean, if you have chicken soup, might as well just have the meat.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Gotcha. I mean, the thing comes out of the bone.
Right,
the bone
right,
marrow.
Right.
Might as well just.
Yeah.
Eat the flesh.
I thought maybe one day you had bad chicken. It tastes like fish. You're like, wait a second. That's chicken?
Right.
Her and I, every time we meet up, we have to have sushi. But now we can have El Pollo Loco.
Right, exactly. El Pollo Loco.
All right, so get back to the lecture at hand.
Thanks.
Because perfection is perfected, so you better understand.
Mm.
From a Yangji's perspective. Okay.
Beautifully.
So anyway, what would you tell people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's start with Kevin. Let's start with Kevin.
Oh, wow.
He's been married the longest.
Married.
Yeah. Married, the only married person, right?
Married. Period. Yeah, you're right. Married.
Yeah.
DD. And never.
Engaged.
Congratulations.
Former. No.
Oh,
no.
Sorry.
And then it fell apart.
It's all good. It's all good. Okay.
So, Kevin, for you. See, yes. I'm counting on you too.
Thank you.
What would be the secret to keeping it going?
Wow.
And do you believe that you're in a soulmate situation or an intellectual situation?
It can be both.
It can be both.
Oh, yeah.
It can be both. I think we respect each other's space, like Mike and Kathy do. I let her do things that she enjoys, go out with her friends, hang out with her family. And she says, you know what, whatever, if you want to go out with your friends, you want to hang out with your brother, do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's less work. If I had to always be with her and tell her not to do this or why don't you ask me, it becomes work. And then consciously you're like always have to think two steps ahead. Wait a second. How come she said that? How come she? But this way, you're just comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So you say comfort.
Well, it also sounds like compatibility.
Yeah, I was going to say because he doesn't feel controlled.
I feel like it's just two puzzle pieces that fit together.
It's nice.
And we don't have to like make it fit. It just fits. And I think in the beginning, yes, there was a phase on both sides that we wanted to mold the other person into who we want them to be. I remember like many, many years ago in the beginning of the relationship, she would say, oh, if your brother, for example, wanted to do this and I asked you, hey, do you want to do this? Who would you go with? And I had a talk with her. I said, you know what? My brother's always my brother. He's my twin. Like, we're the same person.
Yeah.
So, you're going to be my wife. So, and I think once we understood our roles, where we are, it was no longer, hey, let me change this person. Because now she knows who I am, who my soulmate is.
Me?
And I respected her. I respected her, too. Like, you have sisters that you like to talk to. You want to go hang out with your mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That's cool with me. I don't need somebody to be my 24/7 employee and, you know, do exactly what I want. So we had that conversation early on, and it became very comfortable, very respectful of each other. Like I said, like even like doing household chores. Subconsciously, we know that, oh, that person just did cooked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna go wash the dishes. It's no longer, hey, wait a second, on this chart I washed it four times, how come she doesn't step in? We just, you know, everything I think just flows. So I think that's my secret.
I love that.
Sweet. You, the once engaged,
is the question, what do I think it takes to
successful?
So I agree with something that was said earlier, which is that I don't think longevity is the mark of success.
Right.
I think hitting as many C's as you can in terms of quality, whatever the duration is, that's success.
Yeah.
And although I've had two relationships, one that turned into engagement and one that did not, that were the most serious that I've been in, I think we knew when to call it in terms of, otherwise it's just going to be forcing it. And I think that was said earlier too by somebody, mm-hmm. like we don't want to force, try mm-hmm. to force anything either. You have to know when to hold them.
Know when to fold them.
Right. Know when to walk away and when to run. So in terms of making something work, I think maybe, and this is maybe radical, don't make longevity the goal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Make the quality of each day the goal. Mm. And then that may turn into longevity or it may not, because both people, as you said, brilliant with the blinkers in and out. Everyone has seasons individually and every relationship has seasons of two individuals maybe being on the same page and then off the same page and then on the same page. So if over those days you are assessing where you both are and trying to make it quality, I think that could be a key to a successful relationship. Could be.
And you, Miss?
I like how you speak. You speak so well. You really do.
She sure does.
Thank you.
Yeah, so articulate. I'm going to add something to your four C's, and it might contradict what you said, but in a good way. Commitment is the other C, and not basing it on the mark of success of longevity, but having the mindset of, I'm going to try to make this work.
Yes.
Because I think there's something to that. So I'm going to add to that a little bit. I think both people come in with that mindset of like, okay, we're really going to try our hardest to make this work. Because it is work. I mean, that's, you know, you're going to get annoyed, you're going to get frustrated. That's all normal. Yeah. But I think for me, kind of what I had said earlier, I think the respect and the appreciation of your partner goes such a long way.
Yeah.
So if you can continue to have that throughout the course of your relationship, I mean, I think that makes all the difference.
Yeah. I think for me was, doesn't have any C's in it, this one, but but being friends and being accepting of one another.
Yeah.
And not trying to change. And
exactly.
I was listening to a Jay Shetty podcast a few weeks ago. Yeah. That, he was talking to this lady who is a huge psychotherapist lady, Kelly Miller.
Yeah, right. Mm. I would love to be on his show.
And they were talking about one of the early signs of them trying to course correct the issue that most couples face, that I want to be in control and he has to be in the driver's seat or vice versa. Or that they decided to be friends. They said, listen, we're both friends. That's how we met. Mm-hmm. We're friends. We're da da da. So in friendships, we usually don't have one person trying to force their will on the other one, right? We both look out for each other. I look out for you.
Yeah.
You look out for me. And as long as we can do that, that's going to work. The other one was acceptance.
Yes. It's huge.
Like, you are this person. I liked you and I know you're going to do certain things in life. And
yes.
So to me, that was really, really the, I think, the secret sauce.
I think that people get lost in dating based on potential. Like, okay, this person's going to be great if they X, Y, and Z. So I think, you know, you're spot on. Yeah. It's like, we have to accept people how they are. Yeah.
And one of the things he was talking about was in the beginning of the marriage, he said we used to, at his house, his parents' house, when they invite people over, people used to come over, they would all have, let's say, a drink. And they would go to the kitchen and they would, like, you know, serve dinner and everyone would have it. And everyone would move to the living room and they would just talk and have tea or coffee. And then once the guests left, they would go in the kitchen and wash the dishes. The husband and wife would go wash the dishes and clean up. So he said, Jay said, in my household, that's what I was used to. In my wife's house, you actually do the whole thing. But when you get after dinner, you actually have to all come to the kitchen and wash and clean up, make sure everything's tidy, and then go to the living room and have your tea in peace. So he said that little tiny thing. Yeah. And I kept on saying, well, your family doesn't do it. You don't do it correctly. Right. And she said, well, you don't do it correctly. But as soon as you accept that that is your family tradition, that's your whatever, who cares if you wash the dishes now or later?
Right. Exactly.
So to me, I think for the first, say, 7 years of my marriage, what made it work was we were friends and we accepted each other, and she accepted who I was and how my relationship with my brother was, my work, my friends, my family, whatever. And I think in the last 3 years, I know we all have to grow.
Yeah.
We all have to, you know, we have shared ambitions and things, but I think she decided to step it up, and I'm like, why fix something that's not broken? Not knowing that it was broken in our head and heart.
Right.
So I think acceptance, friendship, compatibility, commitment, all those things go into it.
And unfortunately, there was no C word in my two ingredients. But chocolate. I mean, chocolate.
Have chocolate.
But she didn't like chocolate. That was
a... See, that's a red flag.
Exactly.
I was just telling my best friend on Friday, yes. I don't trust anyone who doesn't like chocolate.
I like
even
that.
If it's an allergy. I'm sorry, but I don't trust it.
See, the last three relationships I've had over 5 years, they never liked chocolate. So on Valentine's Day, I'm like, what the...
Really?
The roses are getting old. Come on. Yeah, like, how many roses? Like, I'm not 12 anymore. What do I give you? She's like, well, you have to figure it out. I'm like,
you have to figure
Sour
it out.
Sour Patch Kids.
Oh,
Sour Patch fun. Kids. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Mike and Ike's in honor of Mike and Kathy.
There you go.
Kathy Mike and Ike. But you know what? Lemonheads. They weren't bad. No, listen, listen. But now, on April 25th, I'm getting three teeth pulled.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because of probably
Lemonheads.
Lemonheads.
Oh, are you serious?
Mm-hmm. I never took out my wisdom teeth.
Oh.
And it's growing that way.
Right.
And when you look at the x-ray, it's looks pushed like this one, it's pushed that one, and all the roots are broken.
Yeah.
And it's pushing its way there. So
that's so rude.
It kind of is.
Very, but they say wisdom. Smart. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why.
But now I'm going to lose some IQ points.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's all right.
Yeah.
So rootless you are.
Right. So, so save this recording from the time I was sane.
Okay,
I was making sense to an extent.
Oh, you're making sense?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe without the wisdom, we'll see.
Yeah. But I think that would wrap up this episode of Triple Shot Mindset.
Yes. Quadruple Shot Quadruple. Mindset.
Quadruple Shot. Let's do another plug for both GraphicWise and KellyMillerTherapy.com.
Because we haven't done enough plugs.
Well, we haven't done enough plugs.
Never enough.
It's never enough.
Right. It's like more cowbells. Did you ever see that Saturday Night Live skit?
No.
With who was the guy?
Don't look at me. That narrows it
Walken.
Down.
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken.
Oh. No way.
Yeah,
how you
never
you
saw that?
That.
No, yeah, I love that twin little
Link.
He's like that guy. He's like Christopher Walken. Both like, what the hell?
But anyway, Christopher Walken, like he's like this executive at this record company.
Okay.
And he walks in onto like the band.
No pun intended. Sorry.
Walken.
Come on, that was pretty good.
He walked in. So this band is playing in the studio.
Christopher Walken.
No, the other guy.
Will Arnett.
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
Oh.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. He's running around with a cowbell, like bing, 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 bing. And Christopher Walken comes and is like, hey, fellas, I make gold records.
It's pretty good.
This is a great, you know, setup you guys have here, but I need more cowbells. So Will Ferrell starts playing the heck out of it. And time after time again, he comes back. He's like, fellas, that was a great track, but I still need more cowbells. So at the end, he says, I got a fever, and their only prescription is more cowbells. But I'm going to send you the link. But
Amanda and I are like, got to see it.
Yeah. But the only prescription for this is more plugs.
Yeah.
That's where I was going. That's where I was going.
It was a long journey, but we got there.
Yeah.
Love hacks. I've read it. I've listened to it. I think it's going to definitely help me with my next relationship. And you guys should too. Barnes & Noble. And write a review. You too. They say they want to borrow it. I'm like, you're not touching this version of me.
He's making us buy our own copies.
Yeah, I said, first
he
of
is
all.
Your publicist.
So sweet.
I said, we have this signature here. I can't open the book anymore because it's going to...
You don't want to bend
the value is going to go.
There you go.
But you guys have to buy your own.
We'll
Love Hacks, Kelly Miller, KellyMillerTherapy.com,
Kelly Miller,
Studio City, California, LA area. I mean, she accepts people from all over. She's even licensed in Florida and Tennessee.
Are you telling me if I were to search on Google, therapist, Studio City, California,
right?
She would her website be coming up?
Yeah, top three because GraphicWise.com did it.
Exactly.
<That's>
GraphicWise.com.
Right.
Love GraphicWise. Best company.
SEO.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Branding.
Absolutely.
Marketing. Business cards.
Exactly. Yeah,
sure. For therapists. They do it everywhere.
All. No, but in all honesty, I swear to God, and I say this like genuinely, you both, all three of you are so incredibly talented. No, honestly, I love what you've done and your creativity and all of that. So
Thank you.
Truth.
All starts from the head of the snake.
I'm like scared. Don't get your wisdom teeth out because I'm scared
don't
it's going to lose.
We don't want to lose this.
Well, thank you for coming. I appreciate
thank
you.
Thank you so much for having
and,
me.
And see you later. Okay. Alligator.
Triple Shot Mindset.